Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Now, how do we make a difference? Is it enough to be informed? What actions must be taken to actually make a difference? My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Okay, let's get started. Exhibit A. The Democrat Party has consistently favored policies that compromise the security, not only of our own nation, but also of Israel, and favor the interests of our enemies and hers. Consistently. Yet, liberal Jews continue to vote for them, and, you know, liberal Americans continue to vote against their own interests. Anyway, Exhibit B. Anti-Semitic sentiment is growing more public in Democrat circles. Liberal Women's March, remember that? Got all tangled up in an anti-Semitic slander in January this year. Ilhan Omar, Democrat, Minnesota, angrily claimed America's allegiance to Israel is purchased by Israeli lobbyists in D.C., suggesting Jews in the United States are attached to Israel and therefore should be suspected as disloyal to the United States. So her ethnicity should make us suspicious about her loyalties, right? So some Democrats are concerned about how this makes them look, and they put out a statement that effectively rebukes her, and her defenders step up in her defense to protect her and argue that she's being attacked because she's Muslim. That's the way they do everything they do these days. So the Democrat leadership backs off. Omar complains that because she is Muslim, people assume her loyalties are aligned against the interests of the United States. Isn't this weird? You know? They are, at least against the America you and I remember and love, if you think about her policies, but that's true of all the Democrats today. If you don't see the irony in this, not to say the blind hypocrisy, you're probably new to the Brain Massage Show, so stick around and we'll get the juices, the middle juices flowing with a little massage here. All right, Exhibit C. High-level Democratic leaders have for many years fraternized with Louis Farrakhan. That guy's anti-Semitic as they come. And anti-Semitic statements are becoming more common among them. And in defense of all this, some say, well, Republicans have said worse about other ethnic groups. And as I always do, and you should too, ask, really, name one. And the response you get usually is crickets. Exhibit D. There is a creepy alliance developing between Antichrist and anti-Semitic sentiment in this country. Particularly the Democrat Party. Christians can be slaughtered in various parts of the world, and it appears no one is concerned about that or will say anything about it. But if any such thing happened among Mohammedans, you certainly would hear about it. But not for babies slaughtered in the womb, you know. Maybe for turtles, for salamanders, for whales. Yeah, you'd certainly hear about the outrage, but not for babies slaughtered in the womb or Christians slaughtered around the world. The number of Antichrist statements coming from the left is really alarming. From Christmas bashing to the constant flagrant dismissing and open mockery of Christian values and beliefs, I mean, throughout the education establishment and all over media, the environment being created is one where Christians are being marginalized, even being told they have no place to serve in government if they're Christians. And it goes on so frequently in this country today, it's like the norm. And we must not let that happen. Exhibit E. Liberals are getting meaner and more overtly aggressive all the time, physically assaulting people wearing MAGA hats, for example. Do I need to assemble the list of incidents? No? Good. I mean, there are so many, and many more we don't know about, you know. You have heard the angry calls to attack conservatives coming from Waters and the rest of them. You've seen the videos. You might have experienced it yourself. So the point is, they are getting vicious and violent. Just plain mean, a pro-life group of students at the University of Michigan secured a permit to place 1,000 small pink crosses on campus lawns commemorating the aborted in this country. A woker, And that's a new one for me. I had to look it up. It refers to someone who is awake to injustice. But as I did my research here, I find it only applies to those who are blind to injustices perpetrated against innocent babies in the womb, blind to the injustice of trampling under their feet the free speech rights of those with whom they disagree, blind to the... I could go on, as you are aware, and you get the point. So this woker, actually... a sleepwalker, it was a few of them who got together to come along with trash bags and start pulling up the little pink crosses and placing them in the trash. When confronted by campus police, this particular woker explained she was just collecting trash and didn't know she was taking up someone's property. So when asked to replace them, she said she could not remember exactly where she found them and so dumped her bag out on the sidewalk and walked away. This is how these people protest. This is their style. See, this is their persona. They're rude, they're crude, they're angry, they're bullying, they're arrogant. And this particular exhibit goes to the point that the liberals are becoming increasingly physical and openly hostile toward those with whom they disagree. So exhibit F, the fraternity between the Democrats and the Muslim community is troubling. I'll slow down here. Not because I think all Muslims are radical jihadis. I don't believe that. But because so many of them are. I agree we need to take care and judge each person on his or her own merits. And they should do the same also, right? But when I hear assimilated Muslim immigrants warning me with alarm about these non-assimilated Muslim immigrants, you know, it is concerning. I mean, they should know. Then when I see a Muslim in the Congress trash-talking America, taking positions that are clearly contrary to our constitutional form of government... For example, Omar, look at this, cuddling up to Linda Sarsour. And we know that Linda Sarsour openly advocates for Sharia law. So it is deeply concerning that Jeanine Perot is suspended from her Fox show because she dared ask whether Omar, sporting the headdress required under Sharia law, together with her cozy relationship with Sharia law advocate and apologist Sarsour, that this might raise a question concerning Omar's allegiance to the American Constitution and make that a legitimate question that we should ask. I agree with her. Exhibit G. Consider all the anti-American system rhetoric and policy suggestions we're hearing from Democrats these days. Not only are they calling for murdering babies right up to the moment they breach the womb, and murdering them even after they're born, if they're born alive, in a circumstance where they happen to survive an attempt on their lives in the womb to murder them after they're born alive. That's the modern Democrat Party. There it is. You're looking at the face of it right there. That's who they are. Not only are they calling for virtual infanticide, which is a criminal offense in the United States, by the way, to kill a baby from birth to 1 year old, it's called infanticide. It won't be too long, however, before that law will be changed if the Democrats get their way. But they want to destroy constitutional government in this country and destroy our long-held traditional values and beliefs. For example, Exhibit G1, they want to eliminate the Electoral College. Now, if they succeed, that will guarantee liberal control of this country. It'll be the end of America. As you talk about voter suppression, Washington and New Jersey have passed laws that are intended to keep Trump off their ballots in 2020. You talk about voter suppression? Ballot harvesting, legalizing California, allowing operatives to gather ballots to deliver them to polling places, but there are zero controls on this. There's no way to know if these harvesters are even delivering the ballots or that they are not tampering with them. It's a felony in some states. It ought to be one here. The voter fraud in California is appalling. It's over the top. Illegal aliens vote in this state. They are encouraged to vote in this state by the Democrats. And Democrats are calling for the laws to be changed to allow non-citizens to vote throughout America. Your country is being taken away from you by radical Democrats. They're so angry that Trump beat Hillary, they've gone out of their mind. Exhibit G2. They want to stack the court. That's right. They want to stop all judicial appointments until Democrats have control. We are at war, my friends. I hope it stays political. But check your history. These kinds of things, they move into physical outright war. God help us. It's coming out into the open. The Constitution allows the nationally elected president to appoint judges, and the Senate is charged with the task to advise and consent. Now, this has always been understood to mean the Senate doesn't choose who sits on the court. It looks at the nominees and is concerned about their qualifications to sit on the court. The idea is that the nationally elected office would more fairly represent the sentiments, values, and so forth of the majority of the citizens. So it was considered appropriate to defer to the nominees of a president unless there was a clear reason to be concerned with his or her qualifications. Well, that's changed. It's all ideological battle right now. There's no ideological core that defines America anymore. It's been polarized into two camps that oppose one another. We have two very different Americas in America today. The Democrats want to fundamentally change this country into a socialist, where the government owns all the means of production and is the one who decides who gets what and so on, and the ones that dole out even the rights of people. They want to give special privileges, special rights to certain groups, and then they turn around and use the rights they give those groups to attack the groups they hate, which in this case are Christians and Jews. They want to grant special rights to, say, homosexuals that will position Christians as opposed to the law so that they can use those laws to justify persecuting them. It's Haman all over again, if you know that story. Make a law the Christians cannot obey and then use it to destroy them. Only in that case, it was with regard to the Jews. Exhibit H. But they also practice wanton voter fraud. I had already mentioned the blanket disenfranchisement of voters in the states of Washington and New Jersey, who are effectively being told by their state leaders, you can't vote for Trump even if you want to. The border policy of Democrats has one strategic purpose, and that is to bring in as many illegals who are not concerned about breaking our laws for entry, and so will want to protect their status here, and would have no conscience at all about breaking our voter laws so they can stay. I mean, they don't respect our border laws. Why respect our voter laws? They violate our border laws because they want to get in. Why not violate our voter laws to stay? Of course, that's what they're doing. We know that's what's going on. There's a national emergency on the border. True enough that MS-13 gang members are allowed in for so-called sanctuary status. Yeah, that's happened. And the guy killed somebody. Recently, one guy had been arrested something like six times in this country, in California, and released back into our communities. And then over in San Jose, he brutally murdered a woman recently. It's enough already. You're probably mystified. Why did Democrats want to put up with this? Why do they do something about this border situation? It's all about votes, baby. It's about votes. You're talking about a party that characteristically disrespects the rule of law. Remember Newsom in San Francisco? Disrespecting our law enforcement, disrespecting our laws. Obama picked and chose which laws he would enforce. Remember that? This country is polarized between two opposing worldviews, two diametrically opposite ideologies. It's all about who gets power next. And I mean, they're going all out, by the way. I have about five more exhibits, but I've only got time to go into one more and then offer my closing statement. Exhibit M. Let's go there. 35 Muslim America training camps operate in the United States today. They are training for war. Some intel has surfaced saying some of them have weapons of mass destruction. If you thought they were done on 9/11, you're simply wrong. That was their opener, friend. Bush, too, held them off, pushed them back hard, but they regrouped under Obama, man. They're making a new approach. Hillary was going to finish it off, but she lost. They're becoming impatient, and they want to overthrow this government. These terrorist cells, I think that's exactly what they are, powder keg that can blow up any time. And you have gun ban Bernie out there doing everything he can to make sure we are disarmed when it happens. That Bolshevik revolution-loving crowd is laying down the groundwork to launch another one. Now, I don't have time to ferret out how some of that was kind of halfway teasing. But if you step back here and look at the overall picture, this is what's developing, my friends. You put it all together yourself. Here's what you must do. And these are not in an order of importance. I'm going to tell you what I think is the number one most important thing to do in a moment. But you need to be informed and not be afraid of the truth about what's going on. You need to get informed and you need to get prepared. You should have some food stored up and you should have, you should do what Jesus told you to do and arm yourself for self-defense. You should vote. Exercise your God-given inalienable right afforded to you to be an influence of salt and light in this country. And we have a special privilege here in our voting. We must take advantage of it. You should actively recruit others who are like-minded also to vote. You should work to convince your friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors to vote. And to vote for America as founded, for the protection of unborn babies, for securing our borders. You should get informed, get prepared, vote, teach others, use your influence wisely, and you should identify groups that are making a difference, and then get behind them and help them. A Judicial Watch is getting things done. President Trump's getting things done. Levin, Rush, Hannity, Crowder, Bongino, Pirro, a bunch of these guys, Alley, and some of the others. You need to actively support these people. Promote the Brain Massage Show. You know, like it, repost it, encourage others to tune in and get others to like it and so on. If you are a pastor, get involved in Awake America and Capital Connection. If you have questions about what those organizations are about, how to get involved, let me know. I'll help you out with that. These are people who are making a difference. It's going to take sacrifice and commitment and persistence, but the number one most important thing you can do is to pray. Engage in spiritual warfare. Get my book, Kingdom Power by Prayer and Fasting, and watch for my newest book coming out this year, God's War. Okay, hold on through the break, my friends. I'll be right back. Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your
mind. Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The accusation that Trump is racist is bogus. You probably know that, but unless they can get something they can use to convince Americans their witch hunt found one, or unless Adam Shifty can concoct something. But first, they'll need to deal with the recent revelations out of Ukraine that their director, that is Ukraine's director of Anti-Corruption Bureau, attempted to interfere with United States elections on behalf of Hillary. So I think this racism business is going to be a major part of the Democrat Party's assault on him. If for no other reason, they can't come up with anything else, you know. So here it comes, the 2020 election. We need to get prepared for it. First off, it is not like Trump needs us to defend him on this charge. He does a great job handling it himself. A lot of this was thrown at him in November last year during a press conference. They asked him about his racist comments. He denied ever having made any. And he turned it on the reporter and accused him of asking a racist question. I love it. It's exactly what the way these people should be handled. Because Trump identified himself as defending national interests over the interests of the global community kind of thing, people tried to twist his comments around as if he were declaring himself to be an ideological nationalist. Now, no doubt he shares has some affinity with many of the views of those that would identify as nationalists ideologically. And so do I, by the way. And so does anyone who loves America. But that doesn't make one a nationalist because it goes a little too far. It goes into something else. Anyway, Trump explained this, that he was saying that he was going to support America's interests above the global interests and so on. He believes it is his responsibility to represent America's interests first. When accused of using racist language behind closed doors, unreal. He said he had never used racist language. Another reporter asked him whether he regretted running an ad connecting those seeking asylum in the United States with an undocumented criminal that had been convicted of killing police officers in California. And you gotta love Trump for his candor and his simple honesty. He just says, do I regret it? I'm surprised you asked the question. I do not. Okay. He believes we are foolish to allow the horde gathering at our border to come into our country so long as we have illegal aliens here killing our citizens and our police officers, okay? Here's an idea for you. Stop all immigration until we get the illegals here under control and out of here, right? Nobody else from Mexico can come in until all the illegals are gone. How's that? Here, Politico editorializes, quote, although he has repeatedly denied using racist language, Trump has repeatedly called Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat Massachusetts, Pocahontas, end quote. These guys, they have no sense of humor. Rush has said it often. This is what they call racism. You know, this guy probably also believes the tomahawk chop used by football fans here a while back was racist. I mean, there's nothing racist about this sort of thing. But you'll have to go back and revisit my comments defining racism a few shows back. And clearly, we can't go back and do that now. I mean, look, Pocahontas was a famous personality in our history books, okay? And we use these sorts of statements regularly. These people are way too sensitive these days. It's like a bunch of little babies. It's a joke, friend, because Elizabeth Warren is a joke, not because Pocahontas is a joke. You understand? I mean, suppose someone claimed to be related to George Washington, and that was supposed to give them some kind of political credibility, right? And it was discovered that he had virtually zero genetic connection to Washington, and someone quipped jokingly, yeah, you know George over there, right? It's that kind of thing. That would not be taken as disparaging remark about George Washington. It would be understood for what it is, a jab at the fake who tried to make himself somebody by connecting himself with someone famous in history and all that kind of thing. Or in Elizabeth Warren's case, identifying as some Indian so she can get advantages in her education and all this. It's like calling Al Gore Mr. Internet. It's not a disparaging statement about internet. Anyway, during this briefing, while these reporters were doing all they could to pin the kick me sign on Trump's back, or getting him to pin it on his own back by slipping and making a foolish statement, a Japanese reporter asked a question. But Trump noticed his accent. He asked the reporter where he was from. The reporter told him, and Trump, in a friendly way, said, say hello to Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Right? It was just being friendly and actually making a connection. These people, it's a light moment. Why are liberals so thin-skinned? They can't even be human beings. They're like little robots or something, politically programmed robots. Does anyone think for a moment that if under similar circumstances Trump was asked where he was from, and then the response included a jocular comment like this, that he would be offended, or that I would, or anybody you know? He concluded by remarking on how sad it was that the media were so hostile. And I agree with that. It is sad. Okay, you're almost certainly going to run into this accusation as we proceed into the 2020 election, and so you should be prepared to respond. Now, you know, if I went into this and I discovered that he was racist, I would just say so. But these guys try to make a case that doesn't stand on any merit. Only someone who wants to believe it could possibly take seriously what these guys call the definitive list illustrating Trump's racism. And we left off after I addressed the charge that Trump is a racist because he led the charge on Obama's birth certificate scandal. Picked that up and challenged him with it. I pointed out that there are substantive reasons even today to suspect Obama was attempting some kind of cover-up with regard to some anomaly related to his birth. And the evidence for this is very compelling. But regardless of the truth about Obama's birth, calling this into question with Obama was no more racist than when these questions were raised about McCain or about Cruz. I mean, it's just so wrong-headed to include something like this in a list that's supposed to be the definitive list of Trump's racism. It just proves the whole exercise is a sham. It demonstrates how far the left is reaching and is willing to stretch to find something, anything they can use to turn public sentiment against President Trump, you know, who continues in spite of it all to ride a very healthy job approval rating. All right. Well, we're going to pick it up from there. The next thing in this list from these New York Times writers is, quote, Trump called Obama, who was editor-in-chief of the Harvard Law Review, a terrible student. Terrible, end quote. Again, how does that make somebody a racist? Now, this should disturb every freedom, free speech, and freedom of thought-loving American very deeply. These people are saying that if the subject is black, you cannot have any opinion about him that is negative. If you do, it means you're racist. That's nonsense. In fact, that's reverse racism. Here we go back to Obama's refusal to open his records for public scrutiny about his education. He refused to allow us to see his academic records. We still don't know why. Besides, the testimony we received from those who claimed to have known him while he was in school, by the way, from his own book, suggests that he was not a good student. So whether Trump is right or wrong in his assumptions about Obama, they were constructed upon rumors that circulated during that time about Obama. And there was never one time that Trump or anyone else I know said anything like, Obama must have been a bad student. After all, look at the guy. He's black, you know, right? Now watch for some devil to edit this and make it out that I made the statement. Of course, you know better. One of the most brilliant scientists in America's history was a black man with the name George Washington Carver. There are hundreds, by the way, but Ben Carson is one of the most brilliant surgeons in America today. And Trump loves the guy. Come on. This is just the next one. Let's see. Here we go. Yeah. Quote, Trump frequently claimed that Obama did not work hard as president, end quote. Well, that's my opinion about him. Does that make me a racist? Really? The only motivation anyone could possibly have for having such an opinion about Obama would be because he's black? Well, sort of, half white, actually. But truthfully, does that matter? Do you really believe the only basis Trump would have had for his conclusion that Obama was not a hardworking president was because he was black? I wonder if you're getting what I'm getting at. If it's true that the only basis anyone could possibly have to think that Obama was not a hardworking president was that he was black, are you hearing me? Isn't that racism? I mean, Leonard and Philbrick are racists. To hear someone criticize Obama's work ethic in the White House and then immediately go there? I remember the stories coming out about Obama's work ethic. Every time I turn around, the guy was on a vacation or playing golf. We never had such a golf pro wannabe in the White House before. This guy practically lived on the golf course. I understand with technology being what it is, a fellow can get a lot of work done. I understand multitasking, blah, blah, blah. But there are a lot of things that you need to be in the office for, okay, to tend to. And besides, golf requires a considerable amount of concentration for even the best players. And I was not comfortable with the idea that the president spent more time on the golf course than he did in the White House. That's somewhat of a hyperbole, but not much. I'm just saying. And I get that I might be mistaken, you know, right? I get that. This is a personal opinion. I get, okay. But I remember Bush coming to the place in his presidency where he declared, hey, I can't be out here on the golf course while I've got soldiers deployed in battle over there. It simply speaks of a different view of the job. You know, I hear a story about Obama being briefed on Benghazi and then yawning, and then I'm off to bed. Why? Because he had an early tea time or something? Or what? No, that was because he had some kind of a political fundraising event to go to the next day. So anyway, the guy who immediately thinks racism, you know, count on it. That's the guy that's almost always racist. Here's the next one. Quote, Trump falsely claimed that President Obama issued a statement for Kwanzaa but failed to issue one for Christmas, end quote. Now, you're certainly beginning to see this for yourself. The only people reading something like that and responding to any of these allegations, really, with agreement that this proves Trump's a racist, already thought so. And they don't need any evidence to support it. But let's take a look. Yeah, it's true that Obama issued a statement for Kwanzaa and made a big deal out of it, by the way. Yeah, the White House did, because of other statements that had come from the White House during that time, and from Democrats generally, by the way, during that time, they virtually made Merry Christmas a trigger statement for practically a fistfight. But yeah, I'm not kidding. More than one time during the Obama years, I thought someone to whom I said Merry Christmas was going to bite my head off. And I remember that indeed Obama did not release a formal, that is from the White House, Merry Christmas to the American people statement. But he did, that year, from the White House, issue a formal Happy Kwanzaa statement. So, you know, you can't pull this junk on me. I remember this Happy Holiday card that he put out with a picture of his dog on it. And then the fact that he avoided using the expression Merry Christmas. Now listen, here's the qualifier. In any formal way as president, acting as president. Okay, so Trump picked up on the news cycle of his day and responded to it, you know, like a good old red-blooded American might. And connected with how so many traditional Americans were being made to feel under Obama. The bottom line here, in what way is this a racist thing? See, it's not a racist issue. Look, it's a liberal versus conservative issue, that's for sure. It's about anger at the white man who and refusal to identify with his customs and holidays. That's sad. Okay. Okay, so that takes us through about half of the arguments presented in this definitive list, proving Trump is a racist. And we've shown that not one of them stand as proof that he is a racist. And we'll go ahead and continue it next time. Trump might be one of the most sincere presidents we've ever had. And I've heard that said from some on the left. The one most immune to the manipulation of political forces on either side of him. And probably the most honest all around. Pray for him and his family. Our vice president, all the cabinet, and as I mentioned in the close of the first segment, get informed, inform others, vote, influence others to vote, find people who are making a difference, and get behind them, join them to increase their effectiveness, and above all things else, pray. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. 805-314-2114, or go to our website, brainmassage.net, and click on the Contact Us button, and get in touch with me. God bless you, my friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon